fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Join us now for the Bible Institute of the Air. Welcome to another broadcast of the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Today we present another in our continuing series of studies from the book of Proverbs. Our teacher today is Mr. Jesse Boyd, who until the time he went to be with his Lord, served as a member of the Bible faculty at Bob Jones University.
Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 9, and today we're going to consider the last paragraph in this chapter. That's Proverbs, chapter 9, and verses 13 to 18. In this passage, we have a warning of divine wisdom. Chapter 9 brings us to the close of the first division of the book of Proverbs. And verses 13 to 18 constitute the last paragraph of this division, which contains numerous hortatory appeals of wisdom. These verses conclude wisdom's exhortations, as they began in chapter 1 and verse 8, with a warning about the enticements of sinners, the first being a general warning, and the last a specific warning of the enticement of a foolish woman, which the writer of Proverbs has already designated as a strange woman or an adulterous woman. So we're going to read now verses 13 to 18 of Proverbs 9. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of a house, on a seat in the high places of the city, to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. In this paragraph, we have a warning concerning the foolish woman and her enticements. And there are four things in this warning: her identity, her character, her vanity, and her enticements. I want us to notice, first of all, the identity of the foolish woman in verse 13. A foolish woman. Literally, a woman of folly. And, of course, this is personified. It could be entitled The Woman Folly, who is a strumpet, a harlot, in sharp contrast to the woman wisdom. Here we see, in contrast of these two persons, corruption versus chastity, vileness versus virtue. Wisdom, in verses 3 to 6, calls to a virtuous life. Folly seduces, in verses 15 to 17, to a life of vice. And so this woman is identified as the woman folly. She's the quintessence of all folly, and she entices fools into her net. Then, in the second place, notice with me, please, the character of the foolish woman. Verse 13, the foolish woman is clamorous, she is simple, and she knoweth nothing. The word clamorous means she is riotous. She's like the unfaithful wife of chapter 7 and verse 11, which says, she is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait in every corner. So, folly is loud, boisterous, lacking the sobriety of a respectable woman. She is stubborn, that is, she's rebellious, who, like a refractory heifer, struggles to break loose from the yoke of the marriage bond, and chafes at the moral restraints of the marriage law. She's a gadabout, a street-walking vampire, lying in wait for her unwary victims whom she seeks to allure to her bed of lust. So this foolish woman is clamorous. She's not only clamorous, but she's simple. Of course, this word simply means simplicity. And elsewhere it's used in a good sense, but here it's used in the worst sense of all, and it's a personification of simplicity. So she's not only folly personified, but this woman is also simplicity personified. She is thoughtless, careless, entirely without safeguard or restraint. The third characteristic of the foolish woman is she knoweth nothing. So not only is the woman folly, careless, she is also reckless, absolutely heedless of the consequences of her sins and her enticements. Then in verses 14 and 15, we read of the vanity of the foolish woman. We read, "For she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city, to call passengers who go right on their ways." Back in chapter 9, verse 3, we read of wisdom who crieth upon the high places of the city. And so we have a contrast between these two women, the woman wisdom in her unsullied virtue, having built her house, having killed her beasts, having set her table, sounds forth her warnings in the high places of the city and gives her invitation to come to a banquet. But the woman folly, in her shameless vanity, seeks out her victims in the high places of the city. She sits at the door of her house of sin and shame. She sits on a seat in the high places of the city, where she publicly and shamelessly calls in seductive tones to the passers who go right on their ways without thought of deliberately indulging in sinful pleasures. But she catches them in her net, and she leads them astray. She brings them into her house and leads them into sin. So we have the vanity of the foolish woman. She's not afraid to publicly seek out her victims with whom she desires to commit sin. And then in the fourth place, in verses 16 to 18, we read of the enticements of the foolish woman. "Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell." First of all, notice the victims of her enticements. They are described as simple, and those who want understanding. So the woman folly entices the same types of people to her house of lust as the woman wisdom invited to her banquet of love. Back in verse 14, we read, "For she sitteth at the door of her house on the seat of the high places to cry to the city, and she calls to the simple." But in verse 4, "Who is simple? Let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she," that is wisdom, "saith to him, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled." So quite the same persons addressed, but to a very different kind of an appointment. The woman folly addresses the simple, persons of undecided views, persons who are susceptible to good and bad influences, those who are thoughtless and those who are careless. She also addresses those who want understanding. That is, they're without insight, without discernment, without perception, and yet they're folk who are willing to learn. But her enticement has a character that is far different from the appeal and invitation of the woman wisdom. In verse 17, we read, "Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant." And the seductive imagery of this passage suggests the attractiveness of what is forbidden. And notice the contrast. The woman wisdom says, Come eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. So quite a different invitation to engage in that which is forbidden, stolen waters, which may be enticing, and which also may be attractive, and bread eaten in secret, which may also be enticing, but folly catches her victims in her net. And so we come to the third thing, the deceitfulness of her enticements in verse 18. The person who's caught by the woman folly knoweth not that the dead are there. You see, he's a simpleton. He's a person who is thoughtless, careless, lacking of insight and discernment. He's susceptible to good and bad influences. And so, he being that simpleton, this tempted man is unaware that a reckoning must follow his partaking of the stolen waters and the bread eaten in secret. Why? He doesn't realize that the dead are there, that many have fallen for the temptations of the woman folly, only to die in their sins and go to a Christless grave. He doesn't understand either that her guests are in the depths of hell, that is, those who have engaged in sin with the woman folly, have found themselves in the pits of hell. So the house of the woman folly is the gateway to hell. The Word of God says in the book of 1 Corinthians that a person who commits fornication sins against himself and brings upon himself destruction. Oh, listen, my dear friend, the Word of God is very clear in telling us that no adulterer, no fornicator, no person who lives in lasciviousness and licentiousness will have any part in the kingdom of God. He will not inherit the kingdom of God. He will not be permitted into heaven, but will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. And so wisdom would cry out in the same streets, in the same high places of the city, and say to those passers-by, Forsake the foolish. Do not allow the enticements of the woman folly to lead you into sin. Forsake the foolish and live, and then go on in the way of understanding, not be one who is caught in his ignorance, in his lack of discernment, in his failure to realize that those who spend their time in the house of the foolish woman are but on the road to an eternal hell. So today, dear friend, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, won't you turn from your sin to our blessed Savior and receive Him and with Him eternal life?
You've been listening to another lesson by Mr. Jesse Boyd, who served as a member of the Bible faculty of Bob Jones University. The Bible Institute of the Air is a production of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.